Hello, you are listening to an episode of Trade Talks, a podcast about the economics of trade policy. I'm Samaya Keynes, the U.S. Economics and Trade Editor for The Economist.
And I'm Chad Bown, a Senior Fellow with the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
In this episode, we're going to talk about how trade affects consumers and producers differently. Normally, we think about how freer trade gives people more choices. Now they can import stuff instead of buying the homemade stuff. But it can also hurt the companies trying to compete with foreign suppliers. Domestic producers get hurt while consumers benefit. That's the simple story. In this episode, we're going to talk about what happens when domestic companies have market power. Then the story can get much more complicated.
We're going to be joined by one of the world's experts on this issue, Penny Goldberg. Penny is a professor of economics at Yale University, and as of the end of November, she'll become the chief economist at the World Bank. Penny, welcome.
Very nice to be here.
Why should we care about the issue of trade, inequality, competition?
The current climate, it's quite obvious why we should care. We see a huge backlash against globalization. And it's natural to think, what are the causes? Is it because some people feel they were left out from the gains of globalization? It's a natural question to ask.
Okay, let's dive into the economics here. Supposing there has been a tariff cut, how should the idea of market power change the way that we think about that?
So usually the way trade economists thought about the effects of liberalizations is based on the premise that in most markets, firms are too small to have an effect on a price. So that's what we mean when we say markets are perfectly competitive. In that scenario, if there is a trade liberalization, if trade barriers fall, each firm is too small to affect the market price. So the main gains from liberalization come through cost reductions. The firms operate more efficiently. And in this scenario, these gains, these efficiency gains, these cost reductions are passed through to consumers in the form of lower prices. Now, if firms have market power means that firms are large enough to have an impact on the price. And in this case, it is possible that consumers benefit less than we think.
A classic example where there's market power might be the automobiles sector, where there are very few companies that have very powerful brands. And there, the issue is that they import a lot of their components. And the question is, when they get access to cheaper components because of a tariff cut, do they pass all of that on to consumers in the form of lower prices, or do they just pocket that in the form of higher profits?
How should we think about this issue of market power? Can you explain how it is that we actually measure this thing?
So the way we measure it is by using measures of markups. Markup is the technical term for profit. So it's essentially price minus cost, or price over cost, you know, depending on how you want to define it. So higher markups means higher profits for firms. And intuitively, you can get this in two ways. You can get higher markups through higher prices, or you can get markups through lower costs. In many cases, you may have a combination of the two.
And we can also think of markups then as the inverse of the benefits to consumers. So the bigger the markup, the bigger the benefit to the firm, the smaller the gain, say, to what consumers are going to get out of this.
So in some sense, yes. So it's definitely the case that the higher the markup, the higher the firm profits, so the firms are clearly better off. For consumers, it really depends on whether the markup increase comes from higher prices or from lower costs. It's true that if the lower costs do not get passed through to consumers, the consumers are not going to gain as much compared to the case where there were no markups. But it's not necessarily the case that they get hurt.
And I guess there the issue is of the counterfactual. So consumers might not get hurt compared to what they had before because the price isn't going up, but they are getting hurt relative to what they might get if only the firm passed on those markups in the form of lower prices.
Exactly. This is absolutely right. So the question is what the relevant benchmark is, what the relevant counterfactual is. So if we start with a case when markets are not liberalized and we liberalize the markets, it's not the case that consumers are going to be hurt relative to the case where the market was not liberalized. That's the counterfactual, that's the first counterfactual you mentioned. The relative loss is relative to a notional case in which we would have liberalized the market, but this market was a market without market power.
Why is it not obvious what happens to these markups when trade liberalization happens?
The reason it is not obvious is because there are two forces in effect. So the first one is the competitive effect of liberalization. However, there is also a second force in effect, and this is a firm is not obliged to pass through a cost reduction in form of lower prices. So it is possible that the firm has lower costs, but does not change its price. In this case, what happens is the markup increases mechanically. So it lowers its costs, it keeps the price constant, the markup will mechanically increase.
And to clarify, we're talking about domestic firms here, the markups that they're able to charge after trade liberalization. So let's turn to a recent paper of yours in Econometrica with Jan de Lacker, Amit Khandelwal, and Nina Pouchnik called Prices, Markups, and Trade Reform. So what's the event that you actually study in that paper?
So we studied the event of the Indian trade liberalization of the early 90s. This is a case where the magnitude of the tariff cuts was huge. So on average, tariffs fell by 62 percentage points. What is really distinctive about this trade liberalization episode is that the input tariffs, so the tariffs on intermediate products, fell considerably. So it was not just that tariffs on final products were reduced, it was also tariffs on intermediates that were reduced drastically.
So those are things that would contribute to a company's costs if they were producing exactly final goods. Can you describe how earlier research looked into this question and what they found and how this paper is different to that?
So there is very little work on this, partly because in theoretical models in trade, we assume that markups are constant, that they don't respond at all. So there have been very few empirical papers that looked at this issue, but they looked only from the perspective of tariff decreases on final goods. And there the cost decreases are not as pronounced. In our case, because we looked at India, we focused specifically on decreases that affected intermediates. And these were the cost decreases resulting from tariff reductions on intermediate products were very large. This is the new aspect of this study.
And this builds from some of your earlier research that has really focused on the gains coming to India from India cutting its tariffs on these imported intermediates, lowering the cost to these firms.
Exactly. So one of the most striking findings of our earlier work was that we found substantial gains coming from reductions on tariffs of intermediate products, not final products.
Presumably, you're going to then measure markups. Could you talk a bit about what you find when you do that?
So first, what we do is we get great data, firm-level data. What's unique about this data is we have information on prices. So it seems like prices would be information that would be readily available. In fact, it's very hard to get information on prices, especially in developing countries. So we have information on prices for each product produced by these firms. And then we also have data on the costs of these firms. So we have data on the labor costs, on the cost of materials. What we do is we combine this information. We have prices, we have costs. We combine this information to get an estimate of the profits that they make. And what's interesting about the way we do this is because we have this data, we don't have to make strong assumptions, as is common in this literature.
So across sectors, though, are there differences in terms of the markups that, on average, these firms seem to be charging?
So there are some differences, and they're intuitive. For example, we do find that sectors like automobiles have higher markups than sectors like textiles. This seems intuitive because automobiles tends to be an industry where there are relatively few firms. The products are highly differentiated, so we would expect that each individual firm has market power. While with textiles, you have many small firms. Each firm cannot influence the price.
You do find variation in markups between different sectors, and then you look at this trade liberalization episode. So what's the headline? When India opens up to trade, cuts its tariffs, what happens to prices, costs, and these markups?
The headline is that prices go down, as you would expect. Costs go down by a lot, as you would expect. But markups go up, as you would not expect. And that's the most surprising result about the paper. So in fact, the history of the paper is we started writing it. We thought it would be a two-week exercise. We thought it would be done very, very fast. We wanted to show that markups go down when an economy opens up to trade. And we were consistently finding the opposite result. So first we thought we had a bug in the code. We spent a lot of time looking at our results and making sure they were robust. And this was one of the most robust findings, that markups go up. So that was the most striking result.
How much do you find that these markups go up? Is this a big change?
It's a big change. So the average markup goes up by 13%.
It seems that firms are enjoying lower costs because of lower tariffs on their intermediate goods, but they're not passing all of it on to consumers in the form of lower prices. Could you relate these findings back to that story that we had right at the beginning, which is that the way economists think about the impact of trade? Here, I'm getting the impression that, you know, normally we think about consumers of final goods and the benefits of trade as them getting access to cheaper stuff. But here it seems that actually it's the companies that are the consumers who are benefiting. They're buying stuff as inputs and they're getting access to these cheaper inputs and they're not passing on those cost reductions to consumers.
That's right. So there is an immediate effect. Namely, if you reduce the tariffs on intermediate products, it becomes cheaper to import them. So even without competition, mechanically you pay a lower tariff, therefore it's going to become cheaper for you to import this product. Plus, many firms now have access to different markets, to lower prices from other export markets, different qualities, different varieties of products. So all these effects contribute to lower costs. And in addition, there is a competition effect that you just mentioned, namely that even if this firm buys products from other domestic firms, not from other importing firms, there is pressure, there is competitive pressure to lower the prices of this imported input. So all this contributes to lower costs. There is a gap there. And this gap reflects the increase in profits.
Who wins and loses in India with this trade reform and these changing markups? And does that change over time?
So everyone wins. That's an important lesson. So both consumers and firms win. Firms win because the profits increase. Consumers win because the prices do go down. But in relative terms, firms in the short run win much more than consumers because they are the ones that gain the most. Now, this is a short-run result. In the medium and long run, the effects are different. And the reason is, first, their effects on quality. So we do find that firms increase the production of high-quality products. This is something that benefits consumers in the medium or long run. We also find evidence that those firms that experience the largest profit increases are also the firms that introduce new products. So in the long run, consumers do benefit in the form of additional varieties, additional quality, but these are long-run effects. These are dynamic effects. These are not the static effects we usually think of when we think about the gains from trade.
But what it looks like is happening here is the firms are taking some of these extra benefits they're getting because of the higher markups and profits and perhaps investing them into themselves, into figuring out new product varieties, passing those along to consumers. So while consumers aren't getting great price decreases in the immediate term after liberalization, eventually over time, they get new products and that benefits them as well.
So this is what we find. I'm not sure that this lesson generalizes to other settings, but this is clearly the picture in India. And I think this is an important conclusion of this work.
How do you think these findings should change the way we think about identifying the gains from trade?
So I think sometimes when people try to quantify the gains from trade, they look in the wrong place because they try to show that prices go down and prices do go down. We do find evidence of this in India, but our results suggest that they don't go down by as much as we think they should. In general, prices tend to be rigid. Prices don't change very rapidly and very fast. So especially in the short run, when you try to find big price decreases, or big price increases when tariffs go up, you don't see them. This doesn't mean that the gains from trade are not there. It means they're in a different place. And usually where they're actually present is in what economists call the extensive margin. So you get more products on the market. You get different qualities. This is where the gains from trade are, not necessarily in the price in the short run.
If I had to extend that to the current setting that we're seeing in America, where obviously the Trump administration has raised tariffs on a lot of products, then I suppose one conclusion might be that we shouldn't necessarily expect to see huge immediate increases in prices to consumers. Perhaps we should look to see whether products are still available that were available before. Perhaps firms will just respond by not importing those products at all. But also we should think about market power and profits, and perhaps some of these firms will absorb some of the increases in price as a result of these tariffs.
This is exactly right. I don't know what's happening to the prices. I think this is a very interesting question to investigate. But I would not be surprised if people document that prices did not go up, given the other evidence we have on how rigid prices are. This doesn't mean that in the long run, there are no negative effects.
I think recently there's been an increasing focus on the idea that perhaps these markups that you talk about have increased over time in America and in elsewhere in the Western world. How should we think about these results in that context? Do you think there's a link or are they separate phenomenon?
I think they're very closely linked. If you look at our paper in Econometrica, it has a graph in the end that shows how markups, how profits evolved in India. And then you can see what this graph looks like for the United States for the last two or three decades, or for many other countries, and you see the same pattern, namely that markups or profits have increased over time. And there is a fierce debate going on in academia about the sources of this markup increase. So is it higher concentration? Is it lax antitrust? Is it globalization? What drives these markups? And so our paper provides one potential answer, which is globalization or liberalizations in general have contributed to lower costs. So one of the reasons that we see higher markups is simply that firms have become more efficient. They source inputs from the cheapest location. We can think of this in the context of global supply chains. You get your inputs from the cheapest location, and that has allowed them to produce at very low costs. So part of the reason we see these high markups is that costs have been reduced, which is good news for consumers. It means that prices are not going up. It's the costs that are going down. So I think this is a partial explanation. This doesn't explain why markups have gone up everywhere. There are other explanations. For example, the increasing role of intangibles or fixed costs. I think these are very important. But I think our paper has the advantage that because it focuses on a very specific episode, it can actually nail down the reason that markups increase in India for that period.
And I suppose the puzzle is why, if their costs have been falling, they haven't been passing those on to consumers. Because as you were saying before, in a perfectly competitive market, you would expect those prices to go down in lockstep. Exactly. So it's possible that competition could be playing a role here.
Absolutely. But there is an important distinction to make here. The fact that the cost reductions have not been passed through in form of lower prices to consumer means that we do have market power. This has to be the case. However, this does not mean that market power has increased over time. And I think this is important for policy, that market power exists. I think this is uncontroversial. But I won't take these results and conclude from them that antitrust has not done its job. I think this conclusion is premature.
Penny, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
That is all for Trade Talks. A huge thank you to Penny Goldberg of Yale University and the incoming World Bank chief economist.
We'll be sure to tweet out links to Penny's considerable body of research on these and other important topics.
Thanks also to Colin Warren for taking care of our audio. And follow us on Twitter. I'm at Samaya Keynes.
And I'm at Chad Bown.
And we're on @trade_talks.
That's not one but two underscores, @trade_talks. Because when it comes to constructing estimates of markups, using two prices are better than one.
Yesterday evening, my husband said that we were really stretching the definition of a joke when I described the double underscore thing as a joke. And I think you've just snapped it. Like, we've stretched it too far. It's snapped. It's broken. It's on the floor. And we're just going to end the episode there. I hope you're pleased with yourself, Chad.
Very pleased.